Ladies, Shirin Chavis Halvavis, Wednesday, Shara Bitachon. Yud Menachem Ov, Wednesday, the day of the Tisha B'Av. We'll be starting in a few moments. Okay. Shara Bitachon, Chavis Halvavis, Peregimel. And Perek Aleph defined bitachon, at least not the way we defined it, meaning we had trouble just finding a definition, what English word would define it. So that's, we said, to rely on Hashem, but as an active verb, a person is always relying on something in whatever they do, or else they wouldn't do it, because how can they rely that when they go to the store, the bread will be there? So they go to the store, Misafek, maybe the bread will be there. No, they assume many things. We always rely on whatever, and the definition we gave of bitachon is to realize that you can only rely on Hashem, and He is the cause of everything else. He is the enabler. He is the doer of everything else. But the Chavis Halvavis' definition is beyond that, and he defines bitachon as that you've outsourced it in your head and you are totally stress-free and calm. And you don't have anything on your head. It's not on your head. You gave it to someone to do. Then Perek Beis explains what would justify having bitachon, as defined in Perek Aleph. And he just makes a very logical list of seven things. And then he says only Hashem can have these seven things. And that sets us up for Perek Gimel, which is to study these seven things, to clarify and to be convinced that Hashem has them. Not, oh, I'd like to have bitachon, is such a wonderful thing, and maybe I'll think about it someday, having bitachon, but to clarify in one's mind what he calls five hakdamos, five premises that are avoda. To think about these things, to contemplate them, to be convinced that these things are true, and then we'll be able to have bitachon. In other words, it's much more than Perek Beis was just a list of what would justify bitachon in anything or anybody. Perek Gimel is already talking about how to develop bitachon in Hashem. You have to be convinced, and it takes thinking. It's not as wonderful as this class is, but it's not going to do it. I mean, you have to think about it, and you have to maybe come back to me or to a friend or to any mentor and say, you know, I just realized I'm not really convinced that Hashem, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, you know, I'm not, and that's a problem. I have to work on that. Can you prove it to me? Can you convince me of it? Am I mechuyev to think that way? What happens if I don't think that way? And so on and so forth. But that's the avoda of developing bitachon would be in Perek Gimel, what we're learning now. But as a prerequisite, Perek Daled already will teach us what we call workshops or play acting. And okay, these are the situations that will arise in your life, and this is how a Baal bitachon uses bitachon. This is what he or she does with their bitachon. That's Perek Daled. We're in Perek Gimel now, and we're going through. Now, the first of the five premises, the first of the five prerequisites, is to realize that the seven things of Perek Beis are true about Hashem. So that in itself is like, so that's seven already, even as we just do number one. And there's a slightly different order than the first Perek, and I said, what I think is pshat in that is that in the second parak he goes in the order of min ha-poshut el ha-mor subtle. You know, number one, you of course you have to have that in order to justify bitachon in anything or anyone. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Number three is talking about developing, being convinced that these things are true. And I believe he changed the order because this is the ladder in which, you know, which will, this is the order that you should take in thinking about, am I really convinced that these things are true? And that's a slightly different order than Perek Beis. So the first one was, we're not learning inside the text yet. The first one was, this number one here was the same as the number one in Perek Beis, which is to be convinced that HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves us, meaning cares about us more than we care about ourselves, more than anyone else cares about us. In fact, any experience of love and caring that we have, and this is like a tremendous, a great point, and the Chavetz Chaim is famous for making this point, and now you could say, oh yeah, I learned that in Shara Bitachon, Perek Gimel, yeah. That any experience you have of love or caring from anyone, that's Hashem. That's Hashem giving you a little taste of His caring. His caring is much, much more than anyone else's caring. And of course, we always go to parents with children, which we've experienced, hopefully. Sometimes parents are dysfunctional, and that's a problem. We hopefully know how we feel about our children, again, hopefully. And that's the closest we can come to Hashem. Meaning parents, kibud of the aim, mora of the aim, the caring, the love, the acceptance, the discipline. Wow, what's discipline? You're not supposed to do discipline or else they're going to go off to derech. Well, Hashem doesn't think so, and we shouldn't think so either. So that's number one. You'll excuse me for the editorials. Number two, and we learned this last time. That's why I'm just flying through it. Number two here is number four in Perek Beis, and that is Hashem knows what's best for us, and He created us, and He knows everything about us, and therefore He says, if the creator of a machine is the best person to go to know what's good for the machine, can it be left in the sun, how often do you have to oil it, how often do you have to upgrade it, what do you give it a stress test to make sure that it's going to function, before you take a long trip, how do you know that you're in a car, how do you know the machine could make the trip, like the creator of the car, the creator of the machine will know everything about the machine and how to treat it and what's good for it and what's not so good for it. So, and that's already, he makes a kal v'chomer, that's a machine. A person doesn't really know how the machine works, even if he made it. Because, you know, once you get down to physics and electricity and energy, he obviously wasn't talking about electricity or energy probably, but, you know, at some point, the manufacturing machine says, hey, I'm just using forces of nature. Like, I don't really know the machine. So you can't really know what's best for the machine to the nth degree because he doesn't know how it functions down to the last stage of how it functions. But Hashem, of course, created Yesh Me'ayin, made us and our neshamos, and He knows what's best for us. And He said, you know, Hu hachocham ayodea binyonei to'aliyos of unuzokov v'hatovlo ba'olamo. I'm reading from the last few words of the second point, which again is number four in Perek Beis, but this is the second thing you have to do to build up your... You have to realize Hashem cares about you more than anything and anyone else in the world. Next is you have to realize that Hashem knows what's best for you. He knows. Now, it might be best for your goof. I don't know, but. I shouldn't have said the word but. Maybe if you daven mincha and shul yesterday, you heard that in the Haftorah. Hashem knows the future, knows the past, knows our strengths, knows our weaknesses, knows what our neshamos need to fulfill their purpose in this world. The main thing is the neshama, not the goof. And if we could work on Amida, and Hashem sends us certain nisyonos because we therefore develop bitachon, or daven better, or develop savlonut, patience, or conquer our anger because we have a spouse that pushes that button, and, you know, we could be mismodeyed with it. I'm not talking beyond a red line, which can happen,
But just, you know, you have to be Miss Moday, you know. Pushes the button, you have to know. Oh, wow, I conquered my anger because I wanted to keep the family unit strong. I conquered my anger. Wow, that's why Hashem sent you that spouse. And that's such a immeasurably wonderful accomplishment. To conquer Amida. The Gros says that's the Gros Mishle. Says in a couple of places, that's why we came down to this world. Not to know Shas. You're supposed to know Shas, but that's not the purpose of coming down. The purpose is to conquer Amidos. To develop our character in a good way. So that's number two. Is Hashem knows what's best for us. So you see, that's why it makes sense to me when I said that the order here is the order in which you have to work. The first thing is Hashem cares about us more than any other caring in the world that we think cares about us or that we know cares about us. Number two is I firmly believe that Hashem knows what's best for me. Okay, number three here is the same as number three in Perek Beis. The Hashlishi, we're learning things that we have to work on to develop, to be convinced of, to hold truth true, to really be convinced that these things are true. This is the way to develop bitachon. There are five things that we have to work on being convinced of and really holding that true with a clarity in order to have bitachon. And that's what Perek Gimel is. Work on these five things. Number one is work on believing and clarifying and holding true the seven things of Perek Beis. I know I'm repeating myself, but it's important. We're not learning a list. We are learning what you have to think about in the order you should think about. I would assume the Chavis Halavos would hold, don't go on to the next one. Chavis Halavos is very, very structured sefer. Brilliantly structured. The whole sefer. Each shar. Each perek. It's a brilliant binyan. A brilliant sulam. Brilliant. I mean, it's not for me to say. It's a little pompous for me to say. Because what do I know? I see a little glimpse of the brilliance. The brilliance is much more than what I'm able to glimpse. But you see it, and don't go on to the next one. And if you have a trouble with it, which everybody has, most people have trouble with number one. They really do. They have trouble with number one. They don't really believe Hashem cares about them and only wants what's good for them and is a native. And I said a week ago, and it's an important yesod, Hashem being a native is not brought down anywhere. It's not in the animamins. Because it's intrinsic in the nature of Hashem, as much as we can talk about Hashem's nature. We'll get back to Mesovev Kol Ha'Omen and Mamale Kol Ha'Omen, right? We'll have to go back to that. But it's intrinsic to, it's like saying Hashem is Tov. Forget the word native. Hashem is Tov. You know, like, it's an evil. Yeah. How do you know? Don't say Nani Mamin, Hashem is good. Maybe No. That's Hashem. That's why if you don't believe in Hashem, you can't really have standards of good and bad. It's all subjective, it's all narishkeit. You end up with bad to kill a murderer and good to have an abortion. That's what you end up with if you don't have Hashem. If you don't have Hashem, you end up that good is mechayev gay marriages. That's what you end up with. This is without Hashem, you can't be a moral person at all. Say, yeah, but you're not going to kill. That's who? Yeah. What about a fetus? And what about a murderer? You see, right away, you ask those two questions and you see what the world is without Hashem. Right? Upside down, crazy, and you want to just shut yourself at home and like curl up in the fetal position and not have anything to do with anything. Really. Baruch Hashem, it's a sign of Mashiach about to come. But you know, just when you think things can't get any worse, they usually do. Okay. Number three, again, we're not learning a list. We're learning what to think about and what to work on. Number three of the seven things which make up the first prerequisite. Number three here is the same as number three in Perek Beis, that Hashem can do it. There's nothing He can't do. He can solve a problem that you hold as insoluble. But how in the world will I find a job? How will the world, will my child find a shidduch? How in the world will I be able to live in Eretz Yisrael? Etc., etc., etc. Don't worry. Hashem has solved thornier problems than what you think is insurmountable problems. How do I get my boy? Hashem can solve anything. Hashem can do anything. Kabori is Baruch, and nothing can stop Him. Please, Chazak Mikol Chazak. Hashem is omnipotent. Omnipotent. The Devaro Nigzar Mikol Dovar, and what He says goes. And He doesn't need a Neis Golui. If you think, oh, we're not Zochet to a Neis Golui. Okay, He doesn't need a Neis Golui. Part of Hashem's omnipotence, Malbim says this in many places in Nach, part of Hashem's omnipotence is that He doesn't need a Neis Golui to get the job done. And that's why a Neis Golui is not like the greatest thing in the world. Adarabba, it sort of implies, and this is what the Meraglim thought, that, or said, that, you know, we need a Neis Golui, and who says we're going to be Zochet to a Neis Golui? Hashem doesn't need it's a Neis Golui is l'chara, is a question. What do you need a Neis Golui for? You made a world, you made Teva, you can't work out things in a Teretz is, He makes a Neis Golui to shore up our Emunah, but our Emunah is weak. So a Neis Golui says, oh my goodness, how could I, wow, there's Hashem, it's for our sake. For Hashem to do a Neis Golui, the Gemara says in Shabbos, is not the greatest thing in the world for Him, so to speak. Malden says many times in Nach, Hashem wants to avoid Neis Golui. He made Teva. Teva is not, it's not the laws of nature. The laws of nature that Hashem made, those laws, that means they work, and they work, you know, and the whole world can function with Teva. And how would Bnei Yisrael have gotten over the Yam Suf? Don't worry. They could have gotten over the Yam Suf without a Neis Golui. Who said Pyro had to chase them? They could have fought like the Maccabees fought them, and they would have won. Rabban Be'ad Me'atim. Hashem is not missing ways to make things work out. Ve'imeshiv Esdino, no one can contravene what Hashem decides to do. K'mo Shenemar, Kol HaShachofetz Hashem Asa. Oh, again yesterday's Haftarah by Mincha. Those are the last three words. So you say, wow, this is enough for me. No, there's four more. I'm convinced Hashem cares about me more than I care about myself. He cares about me more than anyone cares about me. Number two is, He knows better than anyone what's right and good for me. And three, He can do anything He wants and no one can stop Him. Like, wow. I'm like, no one's going to admit it because we're all believing Jews, and of course Hashem can do what He wants. Yeah, but Hashem could solve any problem you have overnight. Any problem He could. And it doesn't have to be a Neis Golui where we could have a Havamina that we don't deserve to have a Neis Golui. He has plenty of Harbei Shluchim Lamokim. He has plenty of Eitzes. That's number three. Number four. You had a question?
Yeah. So if you really believe that Hashem can solve any problem and nobody can harm or hurt you except Hashem,
that's a different point.
Okay.
That's going to be a different one of the seven, by the way. Although it's true.
You didn't get into the problem. Right? Okay, and let's assume that you didn't do anything wrong, but you got sick, or you lost a job, or a kid went off the dare. I mean, Hashem gave you the problem to begin with, right?
And number two says that this is a very good thing for you.
So why do you want to get rid of the problem then?
You're going back to the old question, why do we daven? It's a very good, that's your question, why do we daven to get better, to have money? Why don't we just accept what Hashem does? and Gomarnu? Very good question, but the answer is very simple. We know the way things would be in an ideal world. We know that if I would be Beseder, I wouldn't be poor. We know poverty is not the ideal matzav. That we know. We know being healthy is the ideal matzav. Being sick is not the ideal matzav. We know that having problems is our bumps. But it's the best thing for me, right? Hashem instituted tefillah so that he wanted us to daven to him. Is he going to change his mind? You know. Well, in a certain sense, yeah. He wants us to daven and effect change that way. The Imahos did not have children for decades because Hashem wanted to increase the intensity of their tefillah. And ultimately their tefillah worked. And Bnei Yisrael went out of Mitzrayim ultimately because of tefillah. And the Nes Purim happened ultimately because of tefillah. Tefillah is part of the system, and we don't appreciate tefillah. Tefillah is a way to grow very, very close to Hashem. And Hashem, so we know that these things, if we would, Hashem wants us to daven. And maybe that's the reason they're happening, just like by the Imahos, is like the best example, that he wanted them to increase. And believe me, they davened fine before that. But he wanted, we don't even know what he wanted. But look what they underwent. But as I said a few weeks ago, if you would ask them now, you didn't have a child for 20 years, but look what you've gained in terms of kurva to Hashem. Would you, if you had to do it all over again, would you pick a different way? They go, Chas v'shalom, Chas v'shalom. Look what I gained in terms of my neshama, in terms of my nitzchius, in terms of everything. I go without a child at all, if that's what it would take for me to become closer to Hashem. So that's the answer to your question. But that the tefillah is part of the system, and we don't know what Hashem's. We the answer to your question is we know what's lo beseder. If I'd be perfect, I would have all the money I needed. If I'd be beseder, I wouldn't have any troubles in my life. If I'd be beseder, I would be 100% healthy. Hashem made the body to work. He didn't make it to not function properly. So there's a reason why Hashem wants me. So we know tefillah is one of the avodas you do to make things right. And as we see, the Imahos, we see Mitzrayim, Purim, everywhere you turn, there's tefillah. Eliezer, Eben Avram, everywhere you turn, in Chunish, there's tefillah. There's a lot to say about tefillah. We could talk about tefillah for hours and hours and hours and hours. You know, and that's before we start learning Perish Tefillah. And know what we're talking about. But tefillah is perhaps the most empowering force. You know, it says when you daven Shmoneh Esrei, you know it says in Shulchan Aruch, you're supposed to forget about Olam Hazeh. And you're supposed to just close to Nevuah, it says. You're supposed to just feel like you're talking to Hashem. And you forget about Olam Hazeh, you forget that you're sick, right? So I don't know how you find that medium, but you're so close to Hashem, and it's a spiritual state. And if you do it right, you're holding close to Nevuah. And this is in Shulchan Aruch. This is not in Kabbalah Sfarim. This is in Shulchan Aruch, regular good old Shulchan Aruch with Mishnah Brura. You're supposed to imagine you're standing in the Kodesh Kodashim. Who does that? Mishnah Brura says, he interprets the Shulchan Aruch, you're supposed to imagine you're standing in the Kodesh Kodashim facing. Okay. So that's number three. Number four, so what's next? Hashem cares about me. Like, this is fantastic. Hashem cares about me, okay? Hashem knows what's best for me, and Hashem, what Hashem says goes, and he can solve any problem, and he could. Number four is Hashem knows what's going on with me. Ah, Hashem is privy to every part of my life. My happiness, what causes me anguish, what causes me aggravation. He knows everything that's going on with me.
He knows what's going on in my kishkes, in my heart of hearts. He knows if I'm upset. He knows if I'm resentful. He knows if I'm angry. He knows the tzoros I have. Don't think Hashem's much too busy. It's Rosh Hashanah time. Hashem's much too busy to think about what's going on in my life. That's number four, which was number two in Perek Beis. Number four in this ladder of these are things you have to believe and contemplate and realize that they're true, is that Hashem knows everything about your life. He knows that you burnt supper. He knows that you burnt supper. He knows. He knows, and he cares. And by the way, he burnt it, not you. Or at least you should tell that to your husbands. He doesn't set it aside while he doesn't put it on hold. He doesn't ignore them. Is Hashem. He knows every little thing, everything that's going on in your life that affects you, that doesn't affect you. He knows everything. So he knows it all. So he cares about you. Yes, I'm convinced of that. He knows what's best for you. Yes, I'm convinced of that. What he says goes. Yes, I'm convinced of that. And he knows everything going on in my life. Yes, I'm convinced of that. Now we're on our way to being able to have bitachon. We still have another four things in the first prerequisite. And then we have four more prerequisites. So don't feel too good about yourselves. And this is for perfect bitachon, by the way. And, you know, we have to work on these things. He doesn't get, you know, he doesn't palm pilot, he doesn't like forget, doesn't get deleted. He knows everything. He doesn't forget it. He doesn't, nothing crowds out anything else. Kamosha Kosov, Loma Tomar Yaakov, Usadaber Yisrael, Nistra Darki Me Hashem, Omeyalakai Mishpati Yavor. People think that. People think, why is this happening to me? Why do I deserve this? Hashem's not paying attention. You know, they may not verbalize those words or think those words, but if Klal Yisrael could say a B'mei Yishayahu, Nistra Darki Me Hashem, he doesn't. Of course he cares about me and he loves me and he can do anything and he knows what's best for me. But he's busy with other things now. He's busy with China and America and Israel. He's there with me in my petty life and every petty thing that happens. I woke up late and that made me miss a bus and he's there. He's there with me. It's unbelievable. He knows everything. Number five here, after you realize the truth of Hashem's love and caring for you, and Hashem's knowing what's best for you. No, I skipped one. And Hashem's Hashem's caring for you. See, I also get mixed up. You have to memorize it. I get mixed up. Hashem's caring for you. Hashem knows what's best for you. That Hashem's omnipotent and do anything, and he knows everything going on in your life. The Chamishi, number five, which was number six in Perek Beis, in case you're keeping a scorecard. What? Yeah, sure.
How has the Rasponim?
Exactly what you called it, Hastaras Ponim. Hashem is hiding his face. So it takes more avoda to realize that really Hastaras Ponim belongs in another point. Because let me explain what I want to answer you. Hastaras Ponim is that we could think that what's happening is not from Hashem. Hastaras Panim does not mean he is not aware of anything, right? Hashem is always aware. Hastaras Panim is how he deals with us
that it, there's a curtain, you know, he's hiding his face, meaning we don't realize it's from him. And it's that much easier to assign it to other forces, another power. You say, Hashem, like, took a, you know, he's mad at us and he gave us over to a different power. It's easier to say that when there's Hester upon him, right? So that really belongs to another point where he will stress as one of the seven things to firmly be convinced that everything that happens in a person's life is from Hashem. See, he didn't say that yet. So far he's just talked about Hashem's love for us and Hashem's knowing what's best for us and Hashem's omnipotence and Hashem knowing everything that's going on with us. He didn't yet say, and that's going to be number seven, because that's the hardest. You see, I think he made this order very much, and that's going to be the hardest. To firmly believe, that's going to be number seven, firmly believe that Hashem is responsible for everything that goes on in my life. He made it happen. So that's where Hester Ponim comes in. Hester Ponim, though, to answer your question briefly, means that it's easier to lose sight of that truth. Is this an emergency? I'm in the middle of a shiur. Is this an emergency? I'm in the middle of a shiur. You want to know exactly when Chatzos is, when can you start listening to music? Right? Chatzos is something between 12:45 and 12:50. Bye. That was that's my daughter. She's running a day camp. Or assistant running a day camp. But she said she's going to wait till 10 minutes after Chatzos. Really, that's wrong. But I didn't want to tell. It's wrong. You don't have to be frumer than Hashem.
Quick question.
Someone called me up last night. When can I start learning again? How long do I have to wait? I said, as long as you wait to eat. Yeah.
One of my rabbis in America had said you could start kids' clothes early.
Whoa. That's fair.
I was wondering.
Oh, you want me to contradict him? You want me to say what I think? I don't know any source for that. Okay. He may know a source that I don't know. I'm just saying I don't know a source for that. Bachamishi number five. This is hard, Rabosai. This is hard. It's not easy. I was saying it here. I'm going very fast. Bachamishi. Yeah. That's going to be the last, and we're going to explain how the way he says number seven here, and the only thing that's left is number five in Perek Beis, how that he says it differently here, and I think the answer to that is with the same Yesod. He's talking a little different perspective. In chapter two, he's talking about what justifies having bitachon in anything, and here he's talking about avodah, what you have to do in order to develop bitachon. Hachamishi here is number six in Perek Beis. No one. This is like the negative of the positive. The negative is no one can do anything to you unless Hashem allows it, or you want to say enables it. Same thing, for all intents and purposes. But no one can help you either. No one can hurt you, and no one can help you. No one can make you lose money, and no one can make you gain money. And no one could help you. No, it's all Hashem's doing. Hashem controls everything. Shein biyad echad mehabruim lahoel esnafsho, to help you, velo lahaziko, or to hurt you, velo lazuloso, ki im birshus habori yisborach. You have to work on this to have bitachon. Because, ki ho eved, why can't I believe Hashem and everything? And there's someone else that could help me. Someone else, what do you care?
Unless Hashem allows it, unless Hashem engineers it, or allows.
Well, you can use whatever verb you want. It's not okay. Our purpose is now. Those are subtleties in philosophy that's not relevant to us. Either Hashem has to enable it, or allow it, or power it. The different levels of Hashgachas Hashem, but for sure, He is at the very least, like the most mild word is allows it. That's the most mild word. And if that can happen, if he doesn't allow it. So you say, why go to Beis Din? Like saying, why to Daven? Why go to Beis Din? Because anything that's in the Torah, someone just had such a theological issue where someone messed him up and he wanted to know, should you go to Beis Din or should you just drop it as Hashem's will? You say, you drop it as Hashem's will after you lose in Beis Din. That's when you, but going to Beis Din is a remedy that it says in the Torah. It's a remedy that it says in the Shulchan Aruch. And it's like going to a doctor. And it's like, you could, I mean, you know, I don't know if it's false frumkeit or super duper real frumkeit to say, Amoichel, Amoichel, Hashem wanted this to happen. I don't know, maybe Hashem wanted you to have, just like many machlas turn out to be in nowadays, Hashem wanted us to lose the money, to lose the time sitting in the doctor's office, to have the aggravation of missing a day of work because we had to stay home with a sick kid, and the money is very expensive, maybe the medicine. You don't know what Hashem's purpose here is. So that's why this hishtadlus, which we're going to learn about in the fifth of the prerequisites to have a healthy idea of what hishtadlus is and isn't, that's going to be number five. So the same thing here, you know, the remedies that the Torah, I'm saying that's partial, the remedies that the Torah gives, the remedy that the Shulchan Aruch gives, you're safe. How can you be, why in the world the Torah provided those remedies? So that means the Torah looked at your situation and said, so you want to say, oh, but I want to be a big tzaddik and be meichel. Okay, I don't mind. But that's not bitachon. That's not accepting it as Hashem's will. Because Hashem provided a remedy. You don't want to bother going to Beis Din, so you want to be mochel, that's fine. Maybe it's even a good midah. Maybe it's really laziness. Maybe, you know, maybe a lot of things. You have to know where you're coming from. Maybe you don't, it's hard to know which button is being pushed and what you midah you'd be working on if you decide not to pursue the issue. As I said, maybe you're lazy. But certainly if the Torah and Hashem and the Shulchan Aruch provides a remedy, then it's even better than a doctor. A doctor, some shittas hold that you shouldn't go to a doctor because the sin is that the machla has a spiritual cause. And don't go to a doctor, some hold like that. That's a very extreme shita. We don't follow that shita. But there is such a shita. But nobody, I never saw anybody say, don't go to Beis Din with that cheshbon. That's a remedy, and that's all, you know. I said there are some shitas that hold that that's talking to people, you know, it's being practical how people are. But that's not the way you're supposed to be. That's what some hold. Okay, so number five is, but you see, the test of the pudding, that's not the right way to say it. The proof of the pudding. The test is what happens when the guy walks out of Beis Din and lost. Does he say, okay, even though I'm convinced I'm right, and I'm convinced that the Beis Din are a bunch of stupid idiots, which I am very used to. The other side holds I'm a genius. But the losing side holds I'm an idiot. But, you know, you say to yourself, the Chofetz Chaim goes through these steps in my mind. First of all, maybe, as I tell people many times when they call up yelling, maybe you should be a little introspective. I don't care who wins the Din Torah. Nobody gave me Shochad. I don't know both of you. You're both equal in my eyes. Why should I? So maybe I'm stupid, okay, but be a little introspective and realize that you're a Baldomer. And you certainly don't think you're wrong, right? You're one of the parties. So a little introspection that maybe the Dayan is objective and you're subjective, did that ever occur to you? By the way, the answer usually is no. But the proof of the pudding is after they lose. Then this is where this kicks in. the Dayan can't hurt me. The Dayan, nobody could take money away from me unless Hashem wanted it to be taken away from me. And I'm sure this is the greatest thing in the world for me. Maybe I have the money, you know. I'm not supposed to have this money. And I worked and I earned it. And Hashem had a choice that the Kablan has overcharged me and the Bezin said he's right, or my child can get sick and I have to pay money to the doctor and go buy medicine. So Hashem, thank you Hashem, like I lost the money this way, this is clean and easy, right? And then that's where the proof of the pudding lies. Do you believe that no one, and this is not easy, this is David and Shimi ben Gera, where they said to this is a little more complicated, because Shimi ben Gera was doing an Aveira. And David did tell Shlomo HaMelech to punish Shimi ben Gera for what he did, because when someone's doing something wrong, you punish him and you don't say, oh, it's from Hashem. Araya, David told Shlomo to punish him. So what? And David HaMelech becomes one of the Merkava. It's like unbelievable. He reaches the Madrega of the Avos by saying, it's not him, it's Hashem. So the answer is, and this is a subtlety, and it's very, everything's very hot. The answer is, you have to make sure that your reaction to the evildoer is the same as if he would be doing the evil to someone else. You say, yeah, of course Hashem did it, but he punched me in the nose. Ah, chutzpah, he's a Russia. And we have to make sure that din is upheld and justice, and how could I let him get away with this, and etc. And let's say he punched someone else, you say, okay, it's Hashem's will. So that's what David HaMelech, that's what you have to always be careful of. Are you really reacting the right way or not? So David HaMelech either felt or held, or his reaction was, it was like a personal thing. He was running away from his son. Shimi ben Gera came out and cursed him terribly, horribly, cursed. And his reaction, I'm not trying to phrase it, you know, but now's not the time to punish him. Now's the time to make a Kiddush Hashem. There'll be a way that he'll get punished, because he's usher to do what he's doing, and he's a Moriah B'melech, and it's terrible. But right now I have to make sure everybody understands that Hashem Omalo Kalel, it's not him, and therefore I'm not going to strike back, I'm not going to lash back. When you find yourself lashing back, you got a problem. You're not going to lash back if you know it's Hashem. So you do it in a calm and measured way, and if you lose the Din Torah, so you say, okay, Hashem wanted me to lose the money. So, but this is the midah. This is number 5 here, which is number 6 in Perek Beis. No one can do anything to you. And this is really very, just from a psychological viewpoint, this is going to help us all so much in life, right? I mean, people are walking around angry at the world, angry at their neighbors, angry at their friends, angry at their spouses, angry at the Rav, angry at everybody. They're angry. People are angry. Hashem, of all the people that are going to live next to me, it's the neighbor that doesn't cover the garbage. Okay? So you're not taking it personally, as a personal affront. You're going to either talk to them, talk to their Rav. You're going to take whatever measures you could take, because they're wrong, they're doing something wrong. But you're not, it's not eating you up. Because the eating you up part, so you say, oh, it's Hashem. So I think that's the beauty of this. That's it's like emotional health. You know, it's Hashem did it, so I'm calm. It's not really him. Okay? I'm allowed to deal with him. Because I don't really know if Hashem wants me to suffer the way I'm suffering. Maybe Hashem wants me to overcome my shyness. Maybe Hashem wants me to overcome my, whatever it is, you know. So I'm going to do what the Torah allows me to do, what the Torah provides for. Maybe I'll decide to be Moichel and go Lefnei Mishuras HaDin. maybe I'll check with the Rav if that's a good thing to do in this case, because maybe I'm being lazy, maybe it's like a bad midah being brought out, maybe I'm too much of a wimp, and I think I'm a tzaddik for being moichel, but maybe I'm just being a wimp, and I'm not standing up, and my husband's suffering also, and my kids are suffering also, and I have a chiyuv to stand up for my spouse and my kids, and why should I just be a so-called tzaddik? You know, so again, life is complicated, ladies. I can't help it. Life is complicated. But certainly, it's emotionally, I feel, it's like emotionally the greatest thing in the world to realize it's Hashem. Just forgetting about developing bitachon, it's just healthy. Healthy. You're not going to get angry. You're not going to burn off to a slow burn. Or a fast burn, you're going to realize it's Hashem, and you're going to deal with it the way it should be dealt with. Don't go overboard and say it's so much Hashem that I'm not going to do anything about it. You may decide that because it's true. I'm not pulling back on the truth that it's Hashem, but how you deal with it, there are ways to deal with it, and no one says you have to sit back and accept every patch someone gives you because it's the will of Hashem. That's not true. Why isn't it true? Because you don't really know what Hashem has in mind. Maybe he wants you to develop a certain midah. Maybe he wants you to suffer the aggravation of having gone through this. We don't know. So therefore, we can't just sit back. We may choose to. We may say, you know, this is a midah mine I have to work on. It's not really that terrible, and I feel I'm makbid on too many small things, and this is a way to perfect my character of vitor. That's cool. That would be great. You know, again, what do you take into account? Are my children suffering though from it? You know, am I really resentful? And it's going to come out in a few weeks. My resentment, right? It's very complicated, but. I think it's extraordinarily healthy and helpful just to have a good life. Shalom l'shma, to realize that everything is Hashem. Everything's coming from Hashem. No one robbed you in that sense. Oh, why didn't I get the job? Why didn't I listen to the stock tip? Why didn't he give me the job? Why didn't he give me the stock tip? Why didn't he read me the shidduch? Why didn't that person steer the job opportunity this way? It's Hashem. So you're not going to get angry. You're not going to get upset or resentful. You will deal with it dispassionately. David dealt with it dispassionately. He waited a good number of years, and then he told his son to take care of it. Okay, we'll stop here. Now, when are we learning next?